Whether we realize it or not, there are places that define us. And because of that, they draw us back. This time of year, working at a high school, we're in this strange time where our students are back in school, but many of our graduates away at various colleges are still on break. And so all of a sudden, our halls are filled with alums coming through, wanting to see old teachers and chaplains. And what's fascinating to me are the students who choose to come back. Inevitably, they were the very students who not so long ago said, "I'm never coming back to this dump again." Or perhaps consider husbands and wives who can't help but visit that first house, that starter home, even if they left saying, "I'm never coming back to this dump again." We're called, we're drawn back. Today, the cry of John the Baptist calls Israel to one such place. The Jordan River is the place where Joshua led the people of Israel into the Promised Land, where it began. The calling of John the Baptist to bring Israel down to the waters of the Jordan was, in a sense, to call them to a new beginning, to the place where it began. And it's fitting that it would be John the Baptist, since John himself was born of a priestly family and given the vocation of a prophet. In a sense, John himself summarizes in one person all of the old covenants. All of the story of Israel is summed up in John the Baptist. And all of their great and glorious history was bringing them to that moment with John. The story of Israel with the law and the prophets is the story of a desire for righteousness that would please God. And it's that story, into that story, John the Baptist leads the people to the waters of the Jordan. And it's at that moment that Jesus of Nazareth approaches, the babe of Bethlehem, now a full-grown man. And what will he do? Meeting the Baptist at the river, what will he do? Will he take up the role of prophet like John? Will he preach at the water as John preached? Will he baptize at the water as John baptized? No. Not now, at least. No, he does neither of those things. He simply, wondrously, astonishingly, steps into the water. He gets in line with sinners, and he steps into the water. This Lord Jesus was born to walk the path of his people. He was born to walk the path of his ancient people Israel, born to sojourn in Egypt, born to be tempted in the desert. He was born to step into the water. He was born to get in line with sinners, knowing that getting in line with his people Israel, getting in line with sinners, walking his people's path, stepping into the water, has one inevitable end. Moses prophesied that end. Before the people crossed over into the Promised Land, at the conclusion of Moses' ministry, he gave a series of sermons to the people at the end of his life. The sermons were a retelling of the law of Sinai, And in fact, the collection of the sermons has become known as the Second Law, or in Greek, Deuteronomy, the book. And Moses prophesies to the people what will happen if they turn away. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall perish. Walking the path of Israel, getting in line with sinners, stepping into the water of the Jordan, meant inevitably death. It meant walking through the valley of the shadow of death for his people. But this is the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. That, as one theologian put it, the fire has become flesh. The hurricane has become human. God has stepped into the water and walked the path of his people Israel. You see, the gospel is not simply repent better, try harder. The gospel is the fire has become flesh, and that fire has stepped into the water. That fire has come to change us. The purpose of the gospel was not to send another prophet. There had been prophet upon prophet. Jesus was not merely another John, another Isaiah, another Elijah. And yet, many assume that Christianity is essentially the ministry of John done over again. Many assume that Christianity is simply the message of John: be moral, be just, be generous. For many, they assume that that's Christianity. And for those on the cultural right, who some might call conservative, it is a temptation to reduce Christianity to mere morality. Do this, not that. For many on the cultural left, whom you might call liberal, there's a temptation to reduce Christianity to merely social justice. Advocate for this, not that. But those are the fruits. They're not the tree. We needed more than repentance. We needed more than a prophet. We needed more than John. We needed a new heart and a new life. We needed fire. We needed God to come and destroy old habits, destroy selfishness, destroy old bitterness, destroy old hate without destroying us. We needed fire. We needed God to step into the water. And this is what John prophesies when he says, I'm baptizing you with water, but there is one coming after me. I'm not worthy to touch his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In other words, I am giving you an outward sign, but he will bring you an inward grace, an inward change. And the prophecy of John the Baptist is fulfilled on Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit that was reserved to the prophets of old is poured out on the apostles and poured out on all who are baptized. This is the gift that makes possible what Moses could not: new men and women with new hearts, new intentions, new desires. This is what makes possible the promise of the prophet Jeremiah, where the Lord said, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. This is what makes possible the promise of the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. You see, the old law was something external. It was something imposed. The new law of the Spirit is something that flows from within. The old law we knew we had to follow. The new law is to be one we want to follow. The old law said we had to worship God only. The new law says we want to belong to only this Lord God. The old law said we had to observe the Sabbath. The new law says we want to pour out our lives and our hearts in worship. The old law said we could not lie. The new law says we want to be a people of truth. This is the gift that makes possible what the law could not do. The fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God Himself. This is the gift that makes possible what even our modern lawgivers can't imagine. You see, today our lawyers and politicians wonder, how can we stop people from murder and from theft and from adultery? And Jesus says, that's fine to stop people from murder and theft and adultery, but what I want to do, I want to destroy hate and jealousy and lust. I want to go beneath the surface to the intention of the heart. I want fire in you. The best that laws and politics can do, at its best, is restrain some of the evil some of the time. But they can't change hearts. They cannot change hearts. The Lord Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not kill. I want you to give up the hatred that breeds murder. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. I want to destroy the lust that stokes the fires of adultery. You have heard that it was said, you shall not seek revenge. I want you to exchange the desire for revenge with charity, with mercy. And the only way is if I come within you. The only way is the font of new birth, the waters of new life. The only way is if I feed you with the food of new life. The only way is if I give you the absolving words of new life and the sacrament of mercy. The only way is if I come within you and change you. God had to step into the water. And the promise of this Lord Jesus is that if He is within us, by His grace, we will not only begin to do the good and desire the good, we will begin to delight in the good. And as glorious as that thought is, the scriptures promise that this fire will not merely change our hearts, that it will one day, at the day of the resurrection, that fire that has changed our hearts and cleansed them and purged them, one day that fire will change and cleanse and purge our very bodies. And that's not it. The promise is that one day the very fire that has changed our hearts will change the land and the sea and the skies. And that what has happened within us will happen to the very creation itself until the day when the earth is as full of the knowledge and glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.